Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to preach a message entitled Staying Afloat on Life's Stormy Seas. Staying Afloat on Life's Stormy Seas. 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you're able and willing this morning to stand in honor of the Word of God, would you do so, please, as we read a few verses together in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Looking at verse number 18, prior to that, Paul tells young Timothy about staying with the doctrine, staying with the truth. Don't get caught up in all these things that would be argumentative and so forth. And he brings to the attention of Timothy a couple men. And he says in verse number 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Staying afloat on life's stormy seas. On April the 10th, 1912, the Titanic left harbor in Southampton, England. This was the maiden voyage for the 882-foot-long ocean liner that had been billed as unsinkable. I've read where it has been stated by one of the engineers or someone who said God himself could not sink this vessel. She carried with her over 2,200 passengers and crew. Most of the passengers had paid thousands of dollars to take advantage, to be among the first to sail in this great vessel. 4 days into the voyage, on April 14th, 1912, severe ice warnings were received for the area through which the Titanic was sailing. These warnings were ignored, and the Titanic maintained her course for New York Harbor. And at 11:40 p.m., the Titanic struck an iceberg on the starboard side of her bow. She began to take on water at an alarming rate, and within 3 hours, the Titanic and over 1,500 of her passengers were at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Just over 700 of the original 2,200 persons survived that great shipwreck. Now, that's a story that perhaps not all the details, but we've all heard about. We're familiar with the Titanic. We're familiar, perhaps it's been in movies and books and other movies have been written with the ideal of a shipwreck and such. And folks have speculated, and folks have we would say, well, what caused that ship to sink? Well, it was that iceberg that tore into the hull of that ship. And we tried to figure out over the years what happened to bring the demise of this ship that was called unsinkable. Most people would agree that the tragedy was a mixture of many things, including negligence, apathy, greed, pride, and incompetence. You can imagine the pride. This is the luxury liner of its day. And the engineers and the investors and the owners as such were proud of this vessel. And what would it mean to the success of this ship if that on its maiden voyage along the way that they had to turn back, that these people who had paid these thousands of dollars took this trip only to not make their destination? That would, you can see where the greed may set in and say, listen, if that be the testimony that this unsinkable ship couldn't even make it to its destination, then that may have an effect on others wanting to pay the high expense to take this trip. Also, as we said, the pride. It was billed as unsinkable. Arrogance, perhaps. Negligence and not heeding the warnings. Incompetence. In other words, what I'm saying this morning, the tragedy could have been avoided had all the proper steps been taken by the captain and crew of the Titanic. But since these steps were not taken, a tragic loss of life occurred on that cold night in the North Atlantic. Now, most of us, hopefully none of us, will ever be involved in a shipwreck at sea. However, the real, very real possibility exists that this morning that we might suffer a shipwreck in our spiritual lives. Our text speaks of a potential spiritual shipwreck. It even recognizes or records the names of two men in the early church that had experienced such a shipwreck. Hymenaeus and Alexander, the Bible tells us in our text. Our text reveals, and we'll probably look at that at our second service this afternoon, how we can avoid spiritual shipwreck. But I want to look at a few thoughts before we get to that point. Here were some men, Alexander and Hymenaeus, who were spiritual men, if you will. They were saved men, but they fought against the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And he warned Timothy of men such as that. Let me just begin in verse number 19 with the reality of spiritual shipwreck. The reality of spiritual shipwreck. It says again in verse number 19, he says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now, we really don't know a whole lot about Hymenaeus. And Brother Steve, I looked that up this morning, trying to figure out how to say his name. There was a little question last night. I wasn't 100% sure, but that's how it's been. Alexander Scorby read it on the radio or on the computer this morning. So I'm going with Hymenaeus. See, we don't know a whole lot about him. We don't know how to pronounce his name. Him and Alexander. But we do know that these men became a problem for Paul and for the early church. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Amen. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Here were some men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, were debating, were challenging this ideal of a resurrection. They said, well, that thing is past. And it was causing a division in the church. It was such to where men were losing hope, and they were beginning to question the things of God. And then in 2 Timothy 4:14, if you want to turn there, he says, of Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. I'd hate to be Alexander the coppersmith. Amen. Did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He hath greatly withstood. He took a stand against the clear teaching of the Apostle Paul. Paul was teaching and preaching, and he took a stand against that, and he couldn't accept it for whatever reason. That word withstood means to resist, to oppose, to set against. It just wasn't this idea that, well, I don't really know if I believe that. I'll study it out, kind of like the Bereans, went home and see if this thing were so. But he took a stand against the Apostle Paul and began to challenge the Apostle Paul. And he said, he caused me great evil. Now listen, probably most of us this morning could think of a person or persons who once walked with the Lord and have now made shipwreck of their lives. Spiritual shipwreck can be found all around us. Perhaps some of you this morning. Maybe not totally shipwrecked, but you're taken on water. That is, the Word of God is clear, the Word of God is preached, the Word of God is taught, yet we resist it. We may not stand up in the service and say, well, Brother Duke, I just don't believe that. We may not challenge our Sunday school teachers. We may not challenge the pastor or others. But listen, when the Word of God is preached, and it's a preach according to the Scriptures, and we may not vocalize our opposition to it, but we're not, as we've been saying all week, is we're not doers of the Word, but only hearers. In essence, we're saying, I don't believe that. Amen. And listen, if you keep doing that, if you keep turning a deaf ear to the clear teaching of God, listen, you are taking on water. And eventually, if you don't take care of that, your life will be shipwrecked. Your spiritual life will be shipwrecked. None of us are immune to that possibility. People say, well, it won't happen to me. I hear people say that all the time. Young people, I try to counsel with them, and got one particular couple, and they're kind of sweet on each other, and I see them putting themselves in situations that's just not wise. And I've talked to the young lady, and I talked to her guardian, and she said, well, I talked to her, and she said, it won't happen to me. And my response is, well, I used to think that. I'm sure the King David probably thought that. A man after God's own heart, it won't happen to me. Listen, we need to be careful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him take that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Take heed, understand, perceive the reality of spiritual shipwreck. It can happen to you. Listen, I don't think any of us in here are as great a man as King David, and it happened to King David. I don't know that any of us have walked with the Lord physically to see the miracles, the raising of the dead, and been willing to put our lives on the line. And Peter had that same attitude. You can count on me, Lord. Though everyone else turns their back on you, you can count on me. I will fight to the death with you. And it's not but several hours later, we find him saying, who? Jesus, who? I don't know him.
Right.
He cursed him. So for us to have the arrogance to say, well, I'm just, God has been so good to me, and he has. God has blessed me so much, and he has. For us to stand and declare that because of that, we would never find ourselves pushing away from truth, that arrogance will cost us. You may not be here this morning and totally shipwrecked, but listen, if you continue to push away from the Word of God, the clear teachings, then listen, you are taking on water, and soon your ship will sink. There is that reality this morning. None of us are too big to fall. Greater men than I have fallen to sin. Amen. And I would dare say greater men than any of us that are out there. Oh, I can remember preachers when the Lord first saved me some 26 years ago, men that just, I mean, they, God was all over them. And they could preach and you were just glued in and you hated for that last amen. I mean, it was exciting. And I remember as a young Christian, we'd have revival meetings and they would come in and all of us young men would get in the front pew, you know, get under the spout where the glory comes out. Get right up on it, you know, and get that sanctified slobber on you as they would just be, oh, and it'd just be rejoicing. I remember one time brother was preaching and he went by and one other brother grabbed him by the coattail and preached, brother. I mean, it was good. I mean, this man had the power of God on him. And then, for whatever reason, he began to take on water and he ended up out of the ministry, sinning against God, sinned against his family. And you think, wow, listen, and I won't name names, but I could name them this morning. Of men far greater preachers than I'll ever be. I mean, God was with them and they were, God was using them. Folks were being saved as they were preaching and they were high on that list of men you wanted to come and preach because God was a part of their ministries. And now you can't even find them in church, let alone in ministry because they got away from the things of God. So listen, there is the reality of spiritual shipwreck this morning. Don't think you're too big to fail. Don't think that it won't happen to me. Amen. There is that reality. I want you to heed the warnings. That Titanic went down because they did not heed the warning. Listen, there's trouble out there. There's icebergs. There's ice. And they warned them. And because of arrogance, because of pride, because of greed, whatever it was, they said, well, we're the Titanic. There's never been a vessel like this before. And they did not heed the warnings, and you know the rest of the story. I'm telling you this morning, I'm warning you in love that, listen, there's some icebergs out there with your name on it. There's some treacherous things out there. We need to not put ourselves in that situation. The Bible says to make no occasion for the flesh to fulfill the desires thereof. Don't put yourself there and say, it won't happen to me. Oh, I can maneuver around all those icebergs. Yeah, you think so. But there is this morning the reality of spiritual shipwreck. Secondly, in verse number 19, I want to show you some reasons for spiritual shipwreck. In verse number 19, again, the latter part of that, he said, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So not only do we see the reality of spiritual shipwreck, we see the reasons of spiritual shipwreck. And it's right there before us, a putting away the faith. That phrase literally means to thrust or push away. It refers to an intentional turning from truth to error. Now again, we may not stand against the great doctrines of the church, things like the doctrine of the local church and the landmark position of the church and the doctrine of grace and its five tenets and the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine of holiness and the doctrine of creation. Those things pretty much were set upon, I hope, but it's those little foxes, if you will. It's those things about be faithful to the house of God. It's those things about contributing faithfully to the financially to the work of the Lord. It's about doing those things that we know that God has commanded us to do. We push away from it. Some of you here this morning have heard the gospel preached. You know the gospel. You might even be able to declare the gospel, but you push away from it. And you've been warned. And you turn a deaf ear to it, you push away, and you say, and I don't know what you say. Maybe you think, well, maybe I've sinned too much. I was in my study this morning, I was reading earlier here, which is my life's verse. I claim this for my life's verse here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That I claim that for my life's verse because I was a lot of those things that Paul was. But I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And I was studying, I was reading that. And this verse jumped out at me this morning. Howbeit, he says, well, let's just read 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, listen, I am the chiefest of sinners. I am the most vilest. I'm the most wicked. He puts himself right on top when it comes to sinners. But I like the next verse. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I think what Paul said is, listen, if he could save me, here's the pattern. Paul said, if he can save me, who is the chiefest of sinners, he can save you. Amen. That's God's pattern. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to draw sinners to himself. He came for those who had a need. And that's why. So listen, the gospel's been preached, and maybe you've pushed away from that. Listen, let it not be because you think that you've sinned too much. Listen, there is no sin outside the bounds of God's grace. You say, well, what about the unpardonable sin? I personally don't think you can commit that today. That's another thing we can maybe talk about at a later time. Some say, well, I believe the unpardonable sin is a rejection of Jesus Christ. I don't hold to that. I don't think people go to hell for rejecting Christ. I think they go to hell because they're sinners. And there's another one we can get into. But for the sake of argument this morning, listen, you have not sinned too far to where God says, No, that's just a little too much. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. There is this reality of spiritual shipwreck. There are some reasons for spiritual shipwreck. And let me just say this morning. If you continue to push away from the gospel, to turn a deaf ear for whatever reason, listen, you're taking on water. Your ship will go down. And you will not just go down into a watery grave, but what the Bible calls a lake of fire, which is the second death. And there'll be no survivors from that devastating place. Now listen, Hymenaeus rejected the true teaching of the faith and embraced false doctrine. Alexander developed a mean spirit and he began to work against the things of the Lord. That same process, I think, takes place today within the hearts and minds of people in the church. Some who profess Christ as their Savior push away from the truth and embrace error. And again, maybe not the major doctrines of the church. Now, I never understood that. What's a minor doctrine of the church? They're all major. They're good doctrines. But because of pride, resentment, conformity to this world, they continue to push away from truth. He said, well, in what regards? Well, let's look at a few. Let's just bring her down here where we all live. Some folks think they don't need Sunday school. That's for children. Preacher, I just don't see the need as an adult. I mean, that 45 minute, that hour, I mean, that's for the children, and they need that one. But I don't need that, I don't think. Some, I don't think I need to be faithful in church attendance. And again, I understand, like your pastor, sometimes you're out of town. Sometimes your body just is unable. God will providentially hinder us at times. Just be careful what you blame God for. Just be careful what that is. You know, the ball game going into overtime, that's not God providentially hindering you from getting to the house of God. No, you shut that thing off and get to the house of the Lord. So just be careful, you know. There are days, listen, where the devil fights, but you get to the house of the Lord if at all possible. But listen, people say, well, I just don't need that. Brother's got a meeting Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, Sunday. I just don't need all of that. You're taking on water.
Amen.
You're taking on water. I just don't see the need to be in the Bible every day. I mean, you know, it's busy, and I'll double up tomorrow. You're taking on water.
Amen.
I don't think it's necessary to pray over every meal. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a snack. You know, I mean, pray over big meals, but not a snack. I worked with a fellow one time, claimed to be a Christian, and we ate lunch together, and he said, I stopped praying over my food. God knows I'm thankful. I said, wow. Well, he may know you're thankful, but you might want to pray that you don't choke on that food that you're thankful for. But you know what? And I don't say this with any joy or happiness. He was taken on water, and that man eventually, his life tonight is shipwrecked. His family's a mess. He's out of church. He's a disciplined member. He was caught up in sin. He's miserable. He's got health problems. I mean, he's miserable and he knows it. And we all know what his problem is. He needs to repent and get right with God.
Amen.
But right now, he's shipwrecked. He said, it started, what I can see was just being unthankful. The Bible has something to say about that in Romans. About not, they, you know, they quit being thankful and so forth. So, there are things that we think that, well, we'll be okay. I mean, it's not a big deal. Listen, these are some reasons of spiritual shipwreck. This putting away the faith. Now, listen, shipwreck doesn't happen all at once. As we read in the account of the Titanic, it took about 3 hours for it to drop out of sight. We fall away. We get out there, I believe. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, you know what? I want to make a mess of my life. I want to wreck my life. God's been good to me. And, man, I'm in good health. He's brought me through some things. My marriage is intact. My kids are following the Lord. And all of our bills are paid. And the Lord's blessed us. I think I want to mess this up. What can I do to mess this up today? You know, I've never met the alcoholic who said, you know what? That was his dream. I'm going to grow up to be an alcoholic. No, it was that first drink. I never met anyone who was destroyed by drugs, and you can see it all over them, and you talk to them. And I've never met anyone who said, this was what I wanted. I wanted my health to be failing. I wanted to be a miserable mess. I wanted to lose my husband. I wanted to lose my children. I wanted to be physically ill all the time. I wanted to be addicted to this thing. But it was that first time. I've never met the young person who said, this is what I wanted to do. I meant to have all these children, or I meant to have this child before I was married. But they pushed away from truth. And they began to dabble in the things of the world. They began to take on water. And now their lives are shipwrecked. They're a mess. Now listen, I don't want to, I want you to know that this shipwreck is not permanent, the spiritual shipwreck we're talking about. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. I like that word "all" right there. All unrighteousness. No matter how much water you're taking on, no matter how deep your vessel has sank, God can restore you. God can bring you back up, and you can successfully sail on stormy seas. Amen. You can get back up there. We can't many times control the wind, but we can adjust the sails. Amen. The wind, Brother mentioned it this morning, the wind bloweth, we don't know where it's coming from, whatever, but we can't control that, but we can adjust the sails through prayer and through walking with the Lord and so much. We fall away when we sin, when we allow sin to go unchallenged in our lives. We've got sin in our lives and we just allow it. We don't confront it. We don't deal with it. We don't nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife would say. We allow that thing to fester. Then it begins to grow. It's like a leak in a dam. You know, just a little trickle. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not shipwrecked, but you've got a little, just somewhere in your spiritual, there's a little trickle. And that water's just coming through just little by little. But as we know, as that water comes through, it begins to bring a little bit more with it. Pieces begin to break off. And if you don't take care, listen, just a tiny hole in a dam, if not taken care of, could be the devastation of that whole dam collapsing. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. Yeah, I'm not standing up here this morning thinking, you're all a bunch of heathens. You're wicked, you're vile, you're a wretch. Of course, we are in the eyes of God, outside of His grace. But what I'm saying is, we would think, as we said earlier in the week, you know, it's easy to talk about those in the prisons and those murderers and adulterers and all of those people. But what about those little things, those favorite sins of ours? We need to put them in check because, listen, if not handled, we could be in prison. We could be the drunkard. We could be the adulterer if we don't put things in order this morning.
Amen.
We fall away when we seek to rationalize our sinfulness and backslidden condition. We begin to rationalize, well, I'm not as backslidden as he is. Well, I'm not that bad. We begin to rationalize things. Well, God expects me to work or you know, I had a lady tell me before, I don't know if I shared this week, but her and her son, members of the church, she puts him in sports program. I'm not opposed to sports. But notice he started missing during the week. And she said, well, we're going to be out of town. He was a pretty good ball player. The team went around different places in Kentucky and played. And she said, well, we're not going to be here Sunday. Or the reason we weren't here last night in church was because, well, he had a practice for the game. And I said, sister, that's just not a good habit to teach this young man. And she said, well, you know, I feel like this, Brother Wilder. She said, well, when he signed up for the team, we made a commitment to that coach. And I said, is he saved? Well, yeah. I said, well, don't he have a commitment to Christ? And you know what? Here's another sad story. Here's a young man that very rarely darkens the doors of the church. Because mom has taught him. They taught him there were other things more important, more valuable. Listen, not only was there a leak, but mom was guilty of sitting over there and turning on the faucet just a little bit. And letting that water come through. And here he is. He has no love for God. He has no time for the Lord. He shows up enough to keep his name on the roll, it seems like. And I'm not just being ugly this way. I'm trying to share with you some warning signs. We need to be careful. It can happen to us. These are areas, these are things that can happen if we're not careful, tolerating sin in our life. What about you this morning? What sin are you tolerating in your life? What sin is it that you're excusing? What have you slacked up on that you used to do, but now, you know, like praying over your food, you that's not important. Or being faithful to the house of the Lord every time the doors are open. Or continuing to give financially to the work of the church and so forth, so that the kingdom of God will go forward and the work of the church would have its necessary funds to do all that God would lay upon the heart of the church. What have we ceased to do? What small changes have taken place in your life since the time when you were close to the Lord and on fire for God? And you kind of lost that fire. Your pastor and I were talking, I think, last night about maintaining the fire. Because I'm a pastor. I know how it is. You'll have a meeting and God will bless and people will get excited. And then it won't be very long. And it's just people just slip right back down into that rut. I'm like, what happened? Listen, you ought to be in your Christian life now that you can maintain your own fire. It's okay. I mean, we all need that little fanning of the flame every now and then. Somebody to come in and encourage us and maybe give us something different that maybe we haven't seen before and in a different light and share different personal experiences and life experiences and such. But listen, you've got to get to the place. Brother Duke can't go to work with you every day. He might want to because it appears he loves work. He's all week. He's just into something, you know. But he can't do that. He's got things to do. Lord called him in the ministry. He's got to take care of the young people. He can't. Your mom and dad can't go to school with you every day. Can't follow you around town, ladies, and go shopping with you. You got to learn how to maintain your own fire. Now, thank God we can come together again on the Lord's day and get together and get a little more fanning. But listen, we got to be willing to and learn how to maintain our own fire. Get in the Word of God. Stay close to God in prayer. Walk diligently and steadfastly with the Lord. These things can and will lead to shipwreck if they're not dealt with.
Amen.
These little things, we just allow little things to come in. We considered the reality of shipwreck, the reasons for spiritual shipwreck. And look in verse 20 and let us consider the results of spiritual shipwreck. I want you to read that. The Bible says these two men were delivered to Satan. That ought to scare us.
Amen.
Or at the very least, humble us. To think about of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I think this is the most extreme punishment available for people who went away from the Lord, who pushed away from the Word of God. They've been excommunicated from the protection of faithful church membership and have been delivered to Satan's hand to teach them humility, love for God, and obedience to His Word. That's what Paul commanded the Corinthian church to do with a guilty member of their congregation, did he not? Look over there in 1 Corinthians with me this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have I judged already, even though as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan." Listen to this. "For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." The results of spiritual shipwreck. What are they? Listen, when a believer allows his or her life to become shipwrecked by sin, there are terrible consequences. Chastisement is assured. If you're a child of God, you can expect, and dare I say, hope for, the chastening hand of God when you get out in sin. See, because God loves us. And He doesn't say, "Well, I told them, just like Adam and Eve. God told them. He warned them. He said, this is what you can do. Here's the one thing you can't. Here's the consequences of that." Now, listen, God could have said, "Well, you made your bed, sleep in it." He said, "I warned you. You did it, so you're on your own. See how you handle that." No, but God, in His love and mercy, came and He came unto them. And listen, that fellowship with God. I like reading that. It says that God walked with them in the coolness of the day. Someone saying that earlier this week, I believe. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I'm His own. Thinking about that. But now this day, they were hiding from God. That sweet fellowship was what happened. Well, they had sinned against God. And they were hiding behind works. They sewed fig leaves together, trying to hide behind religion and say, we knew when we sinned against you that we were naked, so we tried to... Listen, those fig leaves didn't help. Religion, listen, you can't hide behind religion this morning. You can't hide behind baptism. You can't hide behind good works or good looks. You can put on the a jacket and a tie and get your hair all together and everything and put our hats in and come to church. But listen, if you're not saved, that's not sufficient. Chastisement is assured, according to Hebrews 12. And listen, he goes so far to say, and if you be without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Right.
Listen, for a person to claim the name of God and have no love for the things of God, takes more pleasure in the things of the world than the things of God, involved in sin, and there is no chastening hand, you should be worried this morning.
Amen.
Search your heart. See if you be in the faith. Make your call and election sure. So there is the result of this shipwreck, if you will, a spiritual shipwreck, is no doubt chastisement is assured. Death is a possibility.
Yep.
1 Corinthians 5, we read that. The Bible says in 1 John 5, 16, there is a sin unto death. You say, what sin is that, preacher? I don't know and don't want to know. I think it's that sin where God says, okay. Enough's enough.
Yep. Amen.
1 Corinthians, we read that there, that for the destruction of the flesh. What do you read there? I mean, I see death.
Amen.
And we talked earlier this week, remember Ananias and Sapphira. They lied against God. They lied to God and they dropped dead and took them out and buried them.
Amen.
There is... chastisement is assured. There's the death of being a real possibility. The loss of one's testimony, your influence, and usefulness. That was Paul's fear. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That was Paul's fear, that he would lose his testimony, his influence, his usefulness. I think about Lot, righteous Lot, whom God saved, drew him out of that wicked place. But listen, when warnings came and he went to tell his family, the Bible says they looked upon him as one who mocked. Testimony was shot. Imagine Lot coming and warning his family. Listen, God's going to pour out his wrath. Judgment is coming. Things are going to be bad. And they said, who are you to be? Really? I mean, you're caught up in the sins and stuff. You offered your daughters to these perverts and you're going to try and tell us that we need to run, that we're in question. Righteous Lot lost his testimony, and in doing so, lost those men, lost that family.
Yes.
Eventually lost his wife. He had kept her there, and for whatever reason, she looked back. It cost him dearly. His testimony, influence, and usefulness. Listen, we're not going to be, the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth, and if that salt hath lost its savor, anybody, there's just no substitute for salt. I mean, they try to put that stuff out there. I mean, sugar, you get Sugar Twin, you get Splenda, you can get, what's the new one, Equal, something in the yellow bag, whatever it is. Y'all, sugar, you don't know that fake stuff. What's the alternative to salt? Salt. They had some stuff out years ago, but it's just not salt. You know, salt is you got to have. There's no substitute for that. And when that salt goes bad, it loses its effectiveness. It loses that saltiness. What's it good for? Mom, just to throw it out on the street.
Yeah.
It's of no use. Listen, a child of God who is spiritually shipwrecked or taken on water, the ship is going down. Listen, you may lose your life. You are short of chastisement. You lose your testimony, your influence, and your usefulness. And then again, there is the loss of reward that will be suffered. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse number 10. You know the verse. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Walking distantly from God, is it really worth all that it's costing you? Is it worth not being able to pray as you ought to? Is it worth not having any influence with your family and friends and your coworkers, maybe your classmates? Is it worth the immense spiritual cost attached to it? I can answer that for you. No, it's not. It's not worth it. So in closing, let us search our hearts, swallow our pride, seek forgiveness from God and others we may have offended, and steady the ship. Get back to faithfully serving the Lord. You've been warned. I would hate to speak to your pastor maybe in weeks or months to come, maybe see him at camp and say, hey, how's Brother Doug doing? Man, I enjoyed the time with his family and makes a mean steak even though he don't like them that done. And he kind of just started drifting off. I don't know. I talked to him, but he just kind of got caught up in got a big promotion on the job, and it was going to take him out of the house of God, but it just, you know, it's one of those offer I can't refuse. And he's just, him and his wife, they're not in church anymore. We don't even hardly see them anymore. Man, that would hurt. You know? How's Brother Steve doing? Well, he's down in Las Vegas. He's a rook champion. He got so good that he's going to take his game on the road, and And he packed up. You'd probably be hard-pressed to pack up the baby and the wife. I don't know how Brother Duke would go for that. But you know, they just packed up, and he thinks he can make a living in a rook tournaments. And he just got sidetracked, and he's just not here anymore. You know, just things happened. Well, what about that young man here? What about that young lady there? Well, you know, they got to dabbling in sin. And, they were taking on water. And I tried to help them bail. I got in there with them, tried to bail some of that water out with prayer and testimony and loving them and scripture. But it got to the point where it was just couldn't handle it. And that ship has sunk. Man, I'd hate to hear that. I'd hate to hear that you forsook the warning and continued to push away from truth to satisfy this old flesh. Hey, how's what's-her-name doing? How's what's-his-name doing? I know we were praying for them, and, well, Brother Mike, they was in a terrible accident. They was on the way home from school one day, and a guy ran a red light and slammed in, and they went out into eternity lost. And my only hope is in the very last, that maybe God was gracious in the last few moments of life they called upon him. I just don't know. I just don't know. And that would tear me up. And I'm sure it would you too. So my thought is this: listen, heed the warnings while you have this day. Today is the day of salvation. Today's God has brought us to this place that we can start plugging up some holes. Let's do that. Let's search our hearts and say, God, if I'm taking on water anywhere, help me to plug that up. Let me plug this up with prayer and get serious with God so that I can steady the ship, adjust the sails, and sail successfully, stay afloat in the life of trouble and turmoil.